Amen. Amen. Here I am. It's been a long time coming. Thank you, Brother Lewis. I didn't know you was checking me out. I go to tell y'all, you better watch what be going on. Good evening to everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. David also said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He said he was glad when they just said it. He hadn't gone yet. They just said it and he got happy. Yeah, I get happy when it's time to go to church. I love this church and I appreciate coming here. Thank you, Brother Vernon, for that introduction. And thank you, Brother Johnny, for that. I appreciate you. Every time you mount the pulpit, brother, I learn something. Thank you. That's good news for a troubled spirit. We've had a blessed revival so far. Brother Roach, he came up here and he talked about never giving up on your dreams. That's something that I believe in, should never, ever give up on your dreams. Brother Roger Mel Davis, he came and he talked about good news for the young at heart. He did the thing. And then Vincent got up here. Wow. Thank you, Brother Vincent. I've been blessed by that. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You know, I'm grateful to God. I've reached an age where I appreciate God. I know what he's doing in my life. I've come to understand that he has a very intricate part. He's had a finger on me all my life. And he brought me to this present moment. And I just feel so grateful for that. I'm thankful for this this privilege and this honor to be part of this Good News Best Life lectureship. I mean, revival. But I'm standing before you humbly and prayerfully that y'all will pray for me. Because I'm nervous as I don't know what. I done had about 4 bottles of water. The last time I was this nervous, I was getting married. So, y'all can't see it, but I'm shaking. Bless God. I'm thankful to the leadership here, and I'm so appreciative to the leadership, to the elders and the deacons. These brothers have something, at least 2 things that they really take to heart and that I gravitated to. They believe in at least 2 things, and that's saving souls and keeping souls saved. And that's what I believe this thing is all about. If we can stay inside those 2 things, then we'll be all right. Brother Gary, I appreciate you too. You've been an excellent example to me since I came here. Man, I've been learning from you, and I appreciate your mentorship. Thank you. Keep letting the Lord use you, and I'll keep following you. I've learned to take advantage of every opportunity that I have to say something about God, to teach the word, to share the gospel. You never know who you're going to meet. You don't know where a person is in their life. You don't know if you planting the seed. You don't know if you watering the seed. But what we do know is that God gives the increase. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear gracious Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy, dear Lord. May your word go forth and accomplish the things that pleases you. And may it in return not void. We pray that everything that is said and done is pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And Lord, help me to remember the things that I studied, that I'll be able to share them in a way that someone will be blessed. I pray that your word will cause someone to think about their walk with you and come down and put Christ on in baptism. It is in Jesus' name I offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. Now, my intention is not to tell you what to think. I wouldn't insult you like that. But I do want to cause you to think. That's my goal, is to cause you to think, to cause you to think about your relationship with God. Whether you saved or whether you not saved, my goal is to cause you to think. That's all I want to do. I'm not up here to impress you, but I am here to impress upon you the things that I intend to say tonight are from a spirit of truth and love. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 15, he says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects of him who is the head, even Christ. So I encourage you to put your focus on the message and not the messenger. Amen. Question, have you ever thought What exactly is the good life of a Christian? Before I finish, see, I asked that question. That's the same thing they said. Tell us. Before I finish, I'm going to share with you what I learned the good life of a Christian is. Now, for some people who have been here for a little while, they probably got some idea. And I'm going to speak primarily to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. Those who may be simply just wondering. Is there one particular point or is there a multiplicity of points? Is it left to whatever the individual believes it to be, or has God defined it for us? Amen. Now, these are all valid questions that can be debated or tossed around, but I believe the Bible sheds some light on the subject of the good life of a Christian. Now, I'm not going to take it for granted that everyone here is a Christian or a member of the Lord's church. And if you're not a member of the church in the Bible, Christ's church, the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ, we pray that tonight we will make the decision to obey the gospel and become a member of Christ's church. Yes. This is the single most important decision one can ever make in life. Amen. And I'm sharing with you what to do to be saved right up front, just like on the airplane, right? They share with you how to save your life before that plane takes off. They don't want you to know before it's too late. Yeah, they don't want you to know before it's too late. Now, there may be many ways in which you can save yourself on an airplane, but there is but one way, yes. One way, yes. To become a Christian. Yes. First, you must hear the word. That's Romans 10:17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is something that is in the word of God that you need to hear and believe and put your faith in. Right. And when you hear it, you must believe it. Right. Bible says in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. After you heard the word and you believe the word, then you must have a mind that's willing to repent. Simply saying you need to change your way of thinking and doing your things your way into doing things God's way and adopting his way of thinking. Amen. We find that in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. After that, you must be willing to confess with your mouth, saying that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Acts chapter 8, verse 37, we have the story of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. Verse 37 says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch says, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Verse 38, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. After making that confession, then you must be baptized in water. For the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You do this, then Christ will add you as a member to his body. How do I know that? Acts chapter 2, verse 47. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily. They didn't join the church. They didn't pray into the church. They didn't get on the mourner's bench. God added them to the church. That's it. That's it right there. It's just that simple to start your Christian journey. Now, once you start it, you got to stay in it. You got to stay in it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. In the latter part of that verse, Jesus says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Is that all right? I'm sharing this with you now because I want you to be in the process of thinking about this as we move on. So when we get to the end of this thing, it will be no trouble for you to make up your mind and come down and put on Christ in baptism. Now, having said that, let's see if we can get in this thing and hear a word from the Lord. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Brother Johnny ate up some of my minutes. Yeah, something. But I'll tell you what, I promise you, we're going to get out of here no later than 10 o'clock. I heard a preacher once say, tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them, and then tell them what you told them. So I'm going to share with you 3 points to consider. The lesson is going to be yours. Number one, within. Number one, without. Number two, within. And number three, withstand. Number one, within, without. Number two, within. And number three, withstand. I like to call them good, better, and best. So Buckle your seatbelts, light is on. Now, a large number of people, and especially those in the world for that matter, spend a lot of time, energy, and money focusing on what is commonly referred to as the good life. A vast majority of people hunger and thirst and use the better portion of their lives in fervent or obsessed pursuit of this so-called good life. Yeah. But the good life can mean different things to different people. Amen. For some, it means a life free of any pain or suffering or worries. Mm. Others seem to feel that the good life is a life of a steady flow of materialism. And we have a pretty good idea of what that looks like. You know, the celebrity lifestyle or the lifestyles of the rich and famous. I call it the Money Mayweather style. Mm. It's that 15-room mansion with everything in it you can imagine. A 7-car garage with a different luxury car for every day of the week. Yeah, yeah. Or they may have clothes, just closets full of clothes. You know, the Gucci's and Louis and Red Bottoms and Prada and Michael Kors bag, jewelry full of diamonds and on and on. They keep up with all the latest technological electronic gadgets. They also want to be large and in charge with a powerful shot-calling career. I mean, the list is too long, but I'm pretty sure you get the picture. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6, 19 and 20, said, "Lay not up for your treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal." Paul put it like this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. He says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." Frankly, I believe that most of those material things, they cost a lot of money, but they're not of any real value at all. And I say this simply because those things can be easily replaced with enough money. A house can burn down, you can build another one. A car can be totaled. They made more than one. The Ecclesiastes writer in chapter 1, he called them vanities of vanities. He said, "All is vanity." The biblical definition of vanity is meaningless or worthless. He also said he tried everything he could to find happiness. Any kind of way he wanted to. He tried wisdom and pleasure. He tried drinking and sex. He tried whatever his money could buy to be happy. At the end of it all, he said it was like grabbing at the wind. Then he compares a wise man to a fool and says there's no difference. Rich or poor, both end up dying just the same. The conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? In verse 14, it says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Basically, he's saying judgment day is coming. It's coming. There are three inevitable things that are going to happen. Life will cease to exist as we know it. One day, this is going to die. It's going to be turned right back to the earth where God took it, brought it from. Second thing is Jesus is coming back just like he said he would. Mama used to say, "Best believe that." And thirdly, judgment day will take place. Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. That's an appointment you're going to keep. You ain't going to be late. You know how we ain't on time? Well, we're not going to miss that appointment. Let me put it like that. So then what's the value of acquiring all these material things? See, we tend to put little value or no value on what we get for free and a lot of value on what we pay for. What am I talking about? I'm talking about free things like we get at birth. Think about it. We get our bodies, we get our minds, we get our souls. That's all free. We get our parents, we get our loved ones. Later on, we make friends. We don't pay anything for that. But for some reason, they can be taken for granted, or in some cases, underappreciated or even abused. And let's not forget the greatest gift of all. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Also, the gift of the Holy Spirit is what we get for free. Acts chapter 2, 38. Peter said unto them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. No price can be put on either one of these. The eternal rest of our souls are directly linked to them. So the importance of acquiring material things means nothing in comparison to believing in Christ and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I don't want y'all to get me wrong. I'm not saying being broke is holy. Ain't nothing holy about being broke. I've been broke and I didn't feel holy. And I'm not saying having any of those material things is sinful or wrong. But it seems to be that the world has painted this picture as that being the good life. Yeah. But if you really want the good life, you want the good life. Matthew 6, 33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom. Yeah, y'all know it. And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Personally, I think we should prosper and be able to live as comfortable as we like. 3 John, verse number 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. But we can't get the good life of the world confused with the good life of a Christian. Amen. Notice the topic of my lesson is the good life of a Christian. There's a difference there. Yes. See, this world has got it twisted. They say if you looking good and you feeling good and you got lots of stuff, you live in the good life. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, that's not the case. Good life does not start for us with possessions. And it does not start for us with possessions. As a matter of fact, in some cases, getting caught up in the obsession to acquire those possessions can be deadly to the soul of a Christian, which is priceless. Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? However, there's another thought, though. There's this thought. When you unite with Christ, when you put Christ on in baptism and you come out of the water, there is something that you get that cannot be found in material possessions. There's this joy. There's this peace. There's this contentment that passes all understanding. Philippians 4 and 7. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit given through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross, which was a culmination of the divine plan God had from the foundation of the world. For Christians, the good life can only come when we surrender our will to our Lord and Master's will for our lives. God wants to build something. And he wants to use us to build it. God wants to build something in us, with us, and through us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I don't want to overlook this point, that the Christian is to walk in the good works prepared by God. The Greek word used for walk here is peripateo, meaning to live one's life totally absorbed in God's ways, 360 degrees. The first part, peri, P-E-R-I, which is the prefix from where we get the word perimeter, it means to encircle or surround. And pateo, P-A-T-E-O, means to walk with authority or power. The idea is to build a perimeter around you, a wall of godliness around yourself. This perimeter has two functions for daily living. One is to help you stay inside the wall in God's will for your life. The other is to help block out ungodliness from coming into your life. This is who God has called us to be, strong people of godliness in this world. God's plea for us is for us to be covered in his godliness, because we are his tools that he's using to build his house. Psalms 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. God wants to show the good life of a Christian to the world. through us. And he will if we would only let him. Now this kingdom, this house that God is building, is only where the good life can be found. The two go hand in hand. Good life, kingdom, kingdom, good life. My studies have led me to believe that the good life of a Christian was, it is, and it will always be part of the redemptive plan of God that he set in motion before the foundation of the world. Y'all looking at me funny. Brother Roach said, you look at me funny, give them Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. That's my text. Yes, sir. That's my text. And it reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Yeah. I was floored when you gave me this text. And the more I chewed on it, the more I saw these are two powerful verses right here. Amen. Paul is trying to tell us something. He says we have been blessed with not one, not two, not a few, but every blessing in the heavenly places. That's for living a good life while we're here on earth. Amen. We don't have to live in fear of anything that Satan wants us to fear. We can wake up and face the day with a mindset that says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not only do we have a blessing, we can have the confidence in knowing that God chose us. He chose us. It's right here in the text. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose you. He chose me. He chose everyone before the foundation of the world. That's a powerful thought. Watch this. He kept me when I was out in the world. When I was flipping them corners, running those streets, doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing, he kept his hand over me. Way back then, before the foundation of the world, he saw this day. He saw me standing here. He didn't let anything happen to me because I needed to be right here doing what I'm doing right now. He didn't let nothing happen to me because I had somebody that I had to talk to. It was that brother right there. Hey, you're going to be saved because you need to talk to Brother McKinney. Yeah. You need to help him because he's going to be, I've chosen him to preach my word. Yeah. You're the one that's going to bring him to the good life. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. You see that? You see God's omniscience? I see. Lord, have mercy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for watching over me and taking care of me.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
And I didn't know what was good for myself.
Come on.
Part of this good life of a Christian is knowing this. You need to know this. Everybody don't know this. Even though God chose everybody, not everybody chooses God. And even less choose to obey him. But this choice has to be made. Only by choosing to walk with him daily will we experience the good life of a Christian. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation. That's Bible. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That ye should show for the praises of him who hath called you from where? Out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. For those who have already chosen to believe and obey the gospel, we have been sealed in him. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. It says, in him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. I believe this right here. This right here, my friends.
Yes.
Listen, this right here is the good life of a Christian.
Yes.
Knowing that I've been redeemed.
Thank you, Lord.
I've been sealed.
Yes.
That's the good life.
Yeah.
If you know this, you can move around with a different spirit. What else can be more rewarding than that? You know something more rewarding than that? To know that I have eternal life? Nothing can be more rewarding than that. No matter what my accomplishments are, my achievements are in this life, they don't even come close to being redeemed, to being born again, to being in Christ, to obeying the gospel. What is greater than knowing that you have eternal life? This is one of the very reasons why Christ came to earth in the first place.
Yes.
To bring us life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
See, this was orchestrated in the mind of God, not as an afterthought, but as a divine plan before the foundation of the world for Jesus to come down here, live as a man, die a cruel death by man's hands, and to be buried in a borrowed tomb and rise again the third day with all power in his hands. He did that for you and I, so that one day God could gather together from the people of this earth for his glory, a heavenly family destined to receive eternal life. This family would also be a human example of the godly image here on earth. Ultimately, every person must decide if they will or will not be a part of God's redemptive plan.
Amen.
Is this not the most important decision to be made in life? If not this, then what? I'd like to know. I can't put anything more important than this on that. If you're not a Christian, would you become one to live the good life of a Christian? Would you be baptized tonight and become a member of Christ's church? God wants you to choose to obey him and live this good life of a Christian. That leads me to my 3 points. I didn't forget them. Number one was without. Now over here, you can live a good life. You can't. You can have Bill Gates money and Donald Trump or Donald Chump. It don't matter. All that comes with it or not, and you can still live a good life. But there's no salvation over here.
Amen.
You can have all of that, but if you don't have Christ, you don't have God. And if you are serious about your salvation, as I believe you are, then without is where you either don't want to be or glad you're not. Amen?
Amen.
All of us at some point were without Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, it reads, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world."
Yes.
Paul makes the point in verse 12 for us to remember that we were once without Christ. We were aliens from the commonwealth, strangers to the covenant of promise, had no hope, and was without God. Thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy. Y'all know what that is. Grace and mercy. Two minutes? There's no Holy Spirit here, because if you don't have Christ, you don't have God. If you don't have God, you don't have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That doesn't sound like the good life to me. That sounds like a pretty bad situation to be in. Someone here is without Christ right now. And we're praying for you. We're praying that you will obey the voice of God before it's too late. Everyone needs to stand in redemption. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, you need to be. In order to live the good life of a Christian, those who have obeyed the gospel can understand the true meaning of being lost. I'm reminded of one of my favorite songs. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Is that your song? Maybe that's not. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Is that your song? That's not your song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Your song is in there somewhere. So there's no power here, no salvation, no Holy Spirit within. Over here, it just got better. Why? Because that's where salvation is. This is where God wants everyone to be, where we can all enjoy the good life of a Christian. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and baptized and is baptized shall be saved." That new life is where the good life starts. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old thing, behold, all things are become new. Now God can use us for kingdom building. This is also where we get the Holy Spirit, and he works in our lives, enabling us to stand against the schemes and tricks of the devil. This is also where the power is. We can empower ourselves with the word of God and rely on help from the Holy Spirit. Withstand. Over here is the best that it can get this side of heaven. Because we have salvation, we can stand in the blessed assurance of the hope of eternal life. Titus 1 and 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, he promised before the world began. In closing, we talked about without, there's no salvation.
Yeah.
No Holy Spirit, no power.
Yeah.
Number two, we talked about within.
Yeah.
There's salvation,
yeah.
Holy Spirit, and power.
Yeah.
Number three, we talked about withstand.
Wow.
There's salvation, Holy Spirit, and power. As you can see, the good life of a Christian is living a life of godliness in Christ.
Amen.
All the blessings of God are given in Christ.
Amen.
God has a divine plan for building his kingdom here on earth, and the manifestation of the express image of himself is the good life of a Christian.
Yes.
It is through him blessing his people how he anticipates executing his agenda. Oftentimes, we need to be reminded of who we are and whose we are and what our mission is while we're here on this side of time.
Amen.
The love of God is so deep that he has given each of us a special gift of his grace for a specific purpose, that the whole body, fitly framed together, grows and builds itself up in love while each of us do our work. I trust and pray that these few words will help us to develop kingdom consciousness and encourage us to live in godliness in order to experience the awesomeness of the good life of a Christian. The lesson is yours. I pray that you've been blessed as much as I have. Invitation. In order to have the good life of a Christian, you must first become a Christian.
Amen.
Make sense?
Amen.
Now, I need to take time to be kind of clear here. Two of the most understood words in religion today is Christian and church.
Yeah.
And this is a serious problem because souls are at stake and the devil wants to get as many as he can.
Amen.
There's been a huge confusion caused by Satan and his angels by taking what God said and twisting it.
That's right.
That's what he does. He did it in the garden, and he's still doing it today. I think it's important we establish biblical truth here and see the devil's been lying and fooling a lot of people, and tonight we're going to set that record straight.
All right.
The church was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, 1 Peter 1 and 20. It was also prophesied about in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, Daniel 2, 44, Micah 4, 1 and 2, and even by Christ himself in Matthew 16, 18, where he says, upon this rock I will build my church. That's future tense.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 2 shows the fulfillment of the prophecies of the church. In verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is the beginning of the church in the first century. Now, there's a lot of scriptural proof here, but I don't have time to break that down. I'll sum it up in one word. Origin.
Yeah.
Origin. Everything has a point of origin.
Yeah.
You have a point of origin. I have a point of origin. This building has a point of origin. My point of origin is December 16th, 1960-something.
Right.
I was born in San Diego, California, to my mama and my daddy. You got a point of origin, too.
Yeah.
We look at this. We look at Christ Church, the point of origin, AD 33,
yeah.
Jerusalem, and Christ is the founder. If what you're involved in doesn't lead back to that, any one of those are wrong, you, my friend, might want to reconsider where you are.
Amen?
Amen? Now, obeying the gospel is twofold, and I'm going to give you both right quick. One part is facts to believe. The other part, commands that are to be believed and obeyed before it's too late. Before it's too late. Please, please bear with me. I got to tell you this. We sent out letters communicating to friends and family or whoever we wanted to participate in this revival.
Right.
The first person on my list was a neighbor, a good friend, business associate, and with my wife and I, he was supposed to be here tonight. I anticipated seeing him. Over the years, we have been witnessing to him, and he said, Reg, pray for me. I'm coming. John passed away last night. See, you never know where death is. Tomorrow is not promised. It's not promised. He said, pray for me. I'm coming. And so I'm a little distant and disturbed right now, you know, out of my element, because, you know, that was a friend. Yeah. Bible says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. We're praying that tonight, if it's you, you've been struggling with this thing, you've been thinking about doing this thing, you've been thinking about it and thinking about it, but the devil steps in and stops you. Don't let him stop you. Come on down. You can come on down right now. I'll shut up. We'll take your confession and baptize you, and you will leave here tonight a member of the Lord's church. I've given you what you needed to hear. You heard it. We're pleading with you. You come to Jesus tonight by having the faith in what you've heard. Like I said, Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Believe what you heard. He that believeth is baptized and shall be saved. Mark 16:16. So you ask the question, what is it that you need to believe? I'm glad you asked. In the previous verse in Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There are two groups of people here, saved and lost. We get to choose which one we want to be in. Back to this gospel that you need to believe. What is the gospel? First, the facts. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I can declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand, in which you are saved. If you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Those are the facts. If you believe those facts that you've just heard, now you're ready for obedience. What do you have to do? You have to repent. That simply means change your mind from doing things your way to doing things God's way. Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You're not going to make it in unless you repent. You can't come to Christ and then go back to doing whatever it is that you were doing. After you understand that and you're willing to do that, you must confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father. Whoever shall deny me before men, him I will deny before my Father. Now you're ready for baptism. You must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all your past sins. The water is ready. The water is ready. You complete that, then God will add you to his church. Maybe you're already Christian and you want the church to pray for you. We all need prayer. Everybody needs the Lord. Everybody. I'm convinced that even atheists need the Lord. Yeah, atheists, they need the Lord. I heard a preacher say, there was an atheist man, and he was walking through the woods, and he was walking down this path, and this bear jumped out at him. Atheist took off running, and he went up a tree. He went all the way up to the top of the tree. He up there, and he looked down, and that bear is running around to the tree, snarling and slobbering and about ready to come up there and get him, and the atheist started praying. Lord, I know I said I didn't believe in you. I know I said that you didn't exist. I told people they must be crazy. There is no God. But I believe now. I believe. Lord, I need your help. Help me. Will you please? God said, well, what is it that you want me to do for you? He says, Lord, I need you to make this bear a Christian bear. Lord said, all right, as you wish. So the man looked down, the bear had stopped running around the tree. The man started climbing down the tree, and he got about halfway. And he noticed the bear backed up from the tree, stood up on his hind legs,
crossed his paws and said, Heavenly Father, thank you for this meal I'm about to receive. The atheist needs God. So we all need God. Listen. Whatever it is on your mind, whatever it is on your heart, you don't have to bear it alone. The Bible says that effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. If you feel that you need to come forward tonight, please come as we stand to sing the song of invitation. Have you